Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control, and you take your money from the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems, so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Hi-ho! Hi-ho!
People say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons of number 9 coal, and the straw boss said, well, bless my soul, you load 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning, it was drizzling rain. Fighting and trouble are my middle name. I was raised in the canebrake by an old mama lion. Can't no high-toned woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. If you see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't, a lot of men died. One fist of iron, the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Wait a minute. You know my baby, she won't let me in. I've got a few pennies. I'm gonna buy myself a bottle of gin, and then I'm gonna call my buddy on the telephone and say, so hard all day long. Everything I try to do seems to always turn out wrong. That's why I want to stop by on my way home and say, now let me tell you one more thing. Have a little taste, but don't lose your cool and start messing up the man's place. Ain't no harm, take a little nip, but don't you fall down and bust your lip.
We do have to pay attention to some of the smaller details, because without the small details, the bigger things don't work. You can explain as clearly as you want about what's going to happen at that meetup, but really people are always going to be stepping into the unknown. So you've got to do whatever you can to make them feel comfortable and welcomed right from the start. You know, if you need to get a good friend of yours to stand at the door and make sure that that person is welcomed as they enter, then do so. So I've seen with a lot of groups, people will describe what the meetup is about, and that's all the information that they will give. But you need to maybe give them an indication of what they might be learning, what outcomes there might be from coming to that meetup, what types of people they might be meeting, what numbers of people they might be expecting to see there. Be very specific with directions. Not everybody is as comfortable as using things like Google Maps as you might be. You know, you've really got to answer all of those questions. Add photos, add a bit of color to your page. Being very detailed. There needs to always be something. And if you can't think of anything, or if you're challenged by time, then just a basic social. It could be, we're having a break between meetups, but we're just going to have coffee if anybody wants to come along and ask any questions about the group. So I think the worst thing for people is they see the name of a meetup group, great description, and then they see that there's nothing scheduled. So it's really important to always have something, even if it's just a small meetup organized.
I'm Barry Lynn, the Cheese Impresario. Welcome to Cheese Rules. Today we are having a party. Obviously, there's some wine here, so we're going to have a cheese and wine pairing party. It's really fun and it's really easy if you know a few basic tips. First of all, you'll see I've got 5 cheeses on the plate, and I actually took them out about an hour, at least an hour, before I'm putting them out. Because you want those microbes to wake up and you want the full flavor of the cheeses, just like wine. If it's too cold, you won't taste it. Same with your cheeses. So what I've done is I've created the classic pairing cheese plate all the way around. So I'm starting with a fresh goat cheese and a goat brie. And I've paired those with a beautiful Sauvignon Blanc. Sauvignon Blanc is high acid, very citrusy, fruity wine. It'll cut through the tanginess and creaminess of these cheeses to really bring them together. The next cheese I have is the Raspberry Bellofitano. It works with so many wines, it's unbelievable. But today I put it with a Chardonnay that's aged in French oak. A little bit milder, not too hard hitting on the oak, but also works beautifully with the creaminess and the nuttiness of the cheese, but also with that little bit of raspberry, it just sings with the fruit of the Chardonnay. The fourth cheese is our Sarvecchio Parmesan. Beautiful cheese from the Sartori family. It pairs with so many different wines, but today I've done it also with the Chardonnay and with the Cabernet Sauvignon. Same cheese, 2 wines. Fantastic. Then we have the Dolcina Gorgonzola, amazing, with the Cabernet Sauvignon. Now that we have all of our cheeses and our wines for our cheese and wine pairing party, what else should we know? Well, you should have a different knife for each cheese, because you don't want to cross-pollinate, so to speak, each of the cheeses. You want them to have their pure taste. So put a knife next to each of your cheeses. Now, condiments. Oh, I love condiments. I have so many of them at home. They really take your party and maximize your pleasure. You can have beautiful nuts, California figs, beautiful olives, this great sun-dried tomato tapenade, honey, drizzling honey everywhere. It's a blast. And each of these condiments makes a different bridge to the wine. You can take your Sarvecchio Parm and you can pair it with the Chardonnay or the Cabernet Sauvignon. Delicious. Now, take this beautiful olive oil from my friend Mustafa from Morocco and just drizzle a little bit, and then you'll be able to taste how it works with the wine. See, then you taste it, have a sip of your wine, and it'll build a new flavor profile, a new bridge to the wine. So now you know how to take all these cheeses and wines and condiments, throw a great party for your friends and family, because cheese rules.
Guys, hey guys, it's David from Crocodile Marketing, and welcome to the Marketing for Business Owners discussion today. And our topic is how to create a meetup community using a proven 90-day test. And this is all about making sure that what you're about to do is going to work. And everything that we do in marketing is all about testing. So in this strategy that I want to share with you is showing you a way in which within 90 days we can know our thought process of creating that group is going to work longer term. So I'm going to frame it by first, this is really about starting a group, not maintaining a group. And I want you to really understand that they are two different animals. To create a group takes a certain amount of energy, but then we have to apply a different style of energy in order to keep the group dynamic moving forward. And that sort of lends me into the whole concept of today's discussion is more about group, understanding group dynamics rather than the individual relationship. So everything that we do in business and in marketing is all about building relationships. So with group dynamics and creating a community, it gets a way more complicated than it is between two individuals. So I've spoken about this in the past, about the concept of leader-follower, and that's that transaction that there is a leader and there's a follower, the leader being the business and the follower being the customer, that we have an there's a transactional level that is going on. And it's not so much that a leader is... You know, we're all leaders and we're all followers. It's just understanding the context of the relationship that defines who's the leader and who is the follower. Because the leader is the guy that's going to solve the problem. It's the follower who's choosing to take on that advice, that leadership, and the follower pays a price. And the follower pays the price either be by cash or by time. So there is always a price. So one of the first things that we've got to understand is what's disrupted our environment. And fundamentally what it comes down to is technology has been one of the major disruptors that we're seeing, i.e. the internet, social media, all of these types of things come from our disruption of technology. Now, coming from the world of IT, before I jumped into the world of marketing, I was a programmer. And one of the key things that we learn about technology is technology doesn't fix the problem. Technology amplifies and speeds things up. So if what we're about to create has a fundamental flaw in it, all the technology is going to do, all that the computer is going to do is just speed it up, that problem becomes bigger. So if we're looking at a system might have multiple steps. And if there's a bug in the system, humans, when it's manual, we can sort of compensate for those little bugs. But when we automate, when we put a computer technology into it, it just speeds it up. So if that problem may be small, but when it's sped up, it becomes this big amplification. And we see that in the world of, you know, probably in being topical today, is the fake news on social media and what's happening with Facebook and all of these sort of elements. Now, it's not Facebook that's created this problem of fake news and these minority groups all sort of having big shouting matches between them. Rather, that's more to do with human nature and the elements of what happens when people get together and start having a shouting match. Technology has just allowed it to be amplified, and sped up in a way that it creates all of this noise, I suppose is the right word. So the definition is technology amplifies it, and it amplifies it to the point where it becomes so loud, everybody hears about it. So that's the first thing, is understanding what technology does. And when we recognize that, we can start to control it. Now, the second part of creating a group is understanding group dynamics. Now, when we combine the understanding of group dynamics and the understanding of technology, we can use that same power and that same amplification to create a group in ways that the physical world of location, the restrictions of location, the restrictions of time, allows us to sort of form bigger and greater groups. And that's what the internet has allowed us to do, is that we can create groups in a global environment, and we can have people sitting in America and India and the Philippines and Australia and all collaborating together on a new idea. So the world of the limitations of location become minimized, and we can now start to do things that we never really ever saw possible or even conceived maybe 50 years ago. So while there's problems with it, I always come from the point of there's way more excitement and opportunity than there are negatives. But it's just that if the negatives happen with your group, your technology is going to amplify it, and it's going to become bad really quickly rather than being a slow drip. So group dynamics. There's a couple of principles. As I'm sort of mentioning, when we start a group, the leader, if you choose to start your own group, is you're the leader. And the leader needs to sort of understand what's going on with the group. And the first principle of any group is a group exists for a purpose. That's it. If there's no purpose, the group can't exist. So the second thing that we need to understand is that your purpose defines and provides a win-win for all the members. That's the second thing we've got to be very conscious of. So the purpose of the group and why and what's the purpose of you creating that group has to have a win for you and a win for the members. Now, the third thing is that the leader is responsible for creating the purpose, the format, and the environment in which the group functions. But I want to sort of highlight that a little bit more, in the sense that a group is not a leader and here are all my little Indians running after me. A group is about forming and being one. And that's what makes it all sort of a little more interesting, is that the groups, the leader is required to bring all of those elements together, the purpose, the environment, the format, to allow the group to act as one to achieve outcomes. Now, that might be just running an event. That might be going out and helping the poor or charity groups or taking on some sort of social cause, whatever that might be. But typically, a group's purpose is there for allow all of the members to act as one and feel the concept that they are achieving something higher than themselves. So that's kind of gets quite complicated. So part of it is before you jump on and you create your meetup group on Meetup, which is very easy to do, you've got to put some real thought into understanding what's the purpose, the format, the environment by which everyone is going to communicate in that space. And that requires a bit of homework. And it will require you, and one of the best things I can always tell people is go and look at other groups. If you are looking to start a new group, one of the first things I always advise you to do is just look around, see if the group already exists. And if it does, I would really recommend that you go and join that group and become part of that group, because you can also be a leader within a larger group. You can be seen, you can still achieve all of the elements that you might like to be as a leader in another group. It's just, it's a different topic of how to be part of a larger group and help them and be an influence within the group. But today we're just focusing on you as the leader, the business owner, creating your own group. Now, understand this, that you can do this with Meetup, but you can also do it with a Facebook group. You can also just do it with your own business and run your own events, your own customer events. They're all styles of groups. So just understand the elements of what a group is, but they are the first three key factors. Now, on the flip side of it is your members. Now, your members' job is two parts. One is they have to choose to join. And secondly is they've got to pay a price. Now, that price is they are agreeing by choosing to abide by the format, the environment, and, of course, the purpose of the group. And that's their element that they're paying for it. Now, they're paying the element of being part of that group by time and maybe by dollars, depending on the purpose of what the group is. What's the win-win for the two groups, for both you, the leader, and the followers in the group? Now, when we understand the two elements that are going on, it all starts with understanding that the leader, when they're ready and they've got that clear vision of the group, we have to invite somebody. And that's the job, is the follower needs to be invited. Because in order to choose, I have to be given an opportunity to choose. And that's where the importance of the invitation comes into play. Now, in order for the person to choose, there's a whole lot of things going on, because this is a choice of relationship. And the first thing that we're going to come up against is trust. Can I trust you? And that's what's going on, is that as a leader, I have to sort of go out there and I have to say, hey, look, come and join this group. And the person's on the other end saying, well, I don't know you. Can I trust you? And that's the hurdle that when you're creating a group, we have to overcome. We have to build that level of trust and communicate it in a simple but yet effective way for the larger audience that we're talking to can understand and move forward. So now that you've got the basic foundation laid out and you've got this group idea, we now want to start with the concept of testing it. Now, Meetup is really cool because Meetup in itself is a big, massive community. It's a global community. So when we go to create a group, one of the first things that we have to do is we have to invite people. Now, when we go to invite people, we effectively have to go to another community. We have to go to a group of people because the first rule in marketing or in advertising is we have to be seen. So for me to go and start a group for business owners, I have to go to a place where business owners hang out. And that's the thing that you've got to understand is that when you understand who is your members, who is your buyer, we have to go to a place where we know that they hang out. Otherwise, I'm just going to be out in the desert screaming out this message and there's no one there to hear me. So Meetup is very cool because it comes with so many dynamics of so many people who are interested to go and do stuff. And that's what makes Meetup an interesting place, just like Facebook. But understand the people who come to Meetup are slightly different to those that come to somewhere like Facebook. Facebook is more about friends and family, where Meetup is about people who have got a genuine desire to go and meet other people in their geographical area. And like-minded people, as Leo, thank you, Leo, you're very, very much on the money there, is the reason why I'm going out to meet other people is I want to share my passion, my hobbies, my thoughts, my... So if I'm into surfing and I really like surfing, I want to go and hang out with other surfers to sort of do my passion, do my hobby. And that's what makes Meetup quite easy, is that it makes it easy for you to create a group. And for those that are genuinely interested to be part of a group, they can find them. And that's what makes Meetup a really cool place to go. So there's a plethora of people looking to be part of something. It's just up to you to create it as the leader of the group. So one of the first things that you do is, yes, go and jump onto Meetup. And we're going to use this for a business practice. So I'm keeping this in the realm of business owners. We're creating a group to act as a beacon or as a way for us to be seen in our local geographical area. So that's what I want you to understand about Meetup, is it's more about the physical rather than the digital world. If you're wanting to create a community group that's a global group, I'd be more recommending that you do something in Facebook, create a Facebook group rather than a Meetup group. But the first thing that we have to do is, and we're making the assumption that you've got the idea of what the purpose is, the format, and what's the reason for people coming together. So when you go into Meetup, you're going to create a group, and they make it very easy to do. But one of the first things that comes up is it's the name of the group. And the name of the group becomes your most important element when it comes to the Meetup algorithm. See, Meetup wants to promote your group for you, and that's really cool. But just like every social media, there's only a certain amount of space, and there's a bit of a competition going on. Now, when people join Meetup, they'll choose a number of topics that they are interested in knowing and hearing about. But what happens is Meetup is going to make some recommendations to them, and they're going to flash up an image and the name of the group and maybe a few little words about what the group is, and it's going to be truncated. So when we're looking at it from that advertising space, it's the name of the group that's going to stand out. And that becomes our invitation for the wider audience on Meetup that they're going to see. So the key that we've got to use here is that we've got to state pretty well, very clearly in the name of the group, it's the how, or I should say is the what and the who. What is the group and who's it for? They are the two primary questions that we have to sort of answer in that title. Now, what I mean by the what, it's the interest. So if it's surfing, we're going to have the word surfing in the name. If it's tennis, it's going to be in the name. If it's more of a technical group, like WordPress or Microsoft or Amazon, they're going to have those keywords, those phrases, those brand names to call out, this is a group about that. What's it about? So this is where we need to start to get very clear on what is the group about. And then it's for who. Now, if you're looking at it being a surfing group to go out doing surfing challenge and all those sort of words, you then might use the word surfing challenge group, or it's identifying who is this for. If it's more of a social gathering, you're going to have the word social in there. It's a social group. It's, yeah, while we might be into surfing, it's going to be more about surfing. Sorry, the social elements of surfing. So if it's going to be, that's that message. So we're using a combination of two words together. Now, I'd probably give you an example for the groups that we're running here today. It took me a number of tests to get that name right, but fundamentally we came down to the principle of it's marketing for business owners. That's how it sort of works. Now, this is where we're doing our test. We're coming up with our name, and you want to test the name. So one of the first things that we have to use is a 90-day rule. And I like the 90-day rule just for all marketing tests. Is that you create the name of your group, you put that in, and you'll write a blurb about what this group's going to do. And that's in the about us. What's the concept of this group? What you also need to do is set an event. Meetup will want you to create an event for your group, and I recommend that you put that group out about 6 weeks out from when you launch the group. Now, when you are preparing your Meetup group, make sure that you've got planned at least two events straight up. The first one's going to be in 6 weeks' time, but you'll want a second event to follow afterwards. So whatever that frequency is, and this comes back to your format, of if it's going to be that you're going to be running this monthly, well, then have your second event already lined up so that when you launch the group, you've got something to promote people towards. So that's the key when you start. Now, what makes groups really a bit complicated, and there's a bit of a human nature element to here, but the golden rule is nobody wants to be second. What this means is that when you're a leader of a group, you have this message, you have this passion, you have this desire to go and do something. Now, if you ever see exercises and it's done, because this is all psychology, if you want to do a little bit of a weird experiment, is go along to a beach or go along to a public space and you just start dancing. You just dance. You're the leader. You're the only one dancing. Now, everyone will be looking at you. There'll be people looking at you going, yeah, I'd like to be dancing. There could be people around that group all looking to do. But while you're on your own, you're just the crazy dude dancing in the public. But the moment a second person comes and starts dancing, it becomes a group. And what you'll find interesting is that once the second person starts dancing, that opens up the level of trust that the third, the fourth, and once you get what we class as that seven or eight people now doing this, it's normal and everyone now is now wanting to become. And that really opens up that concept of its critical mass. So the power of a group is that when you launch your meetup group is you want to have already lined up your second, your third, your fourth members. So while the group is new, you want to ensure that you've got maybe some personal people who you've agreed or they've at least agreed with you that they're going to jump onto meetup and they're going to join your group. So we really want that to have that when you launch within 24 hours, you've got seven or eight people who are already members of that group. That's the key, because that's that initial launch factor. And it's just coming back to the premise of nobody wants to be second. So the person who is going to be your second will end up being for any group is the most valuable person when it comes to starting a group. So that's the key when you launch with Meetup, is just make sure you've got seven or eight people who are prepared in principle, and when you click create, start, that they're going to jump in there and join the group. Now, there's a couple of things that are going to go on there is that when you've got like seven or eight people join the group, that's sending a signal to Meetup's algorithm that, hey, this group must have something going on. So it's going to help elevate it a little bit, and Meetup will start to promote it to other people within your geographical area. Now, that becomes our test. Now, you've got your event coming up, and that's why I sort of say about 6 weeks. You're out there talking about this group. You're going to promote your group, both offline and on Meetup. You're going to, when somebody joins, you're going to welcome them. You're going to send them a welcome message. You're going to send them an email. You're going to prep them about this event that's coming up. What we're aiming for is a bit of a test, and this is just the criteria of within your first 90 days, if you can go from 0 to 100 members in the first 90 days, well, then I can say that your name of your group is going to work, because your name is your invitation. And we want to tap into the algorithm that is going to promote the group to that new audience ongoing. So if you can go from 0 to 100 in 90 days, you've nailed it. Now, if after 90 days you've only got 50 members, I'm not saying that your group is bad. It's going to have more to do with your name. It's the invitation. It's not communicating the message and the purpose of the group clearly enough to a wider audience. And that's why I sort of want to set that criteria that if after 90 days you only got 50 members, you're going to really need to go back and do a little bit of homework on the name and just getting clearer and get that clarity on the purpose that will communicate to that wider audience of the people that you're wanting to attract to the group. So now, for anyone who's on there, just keep in mind the marketing for Mastermind Group. This is the type of stuff that we talk about in helping leaders prepare for their groups. So if you are interested in it, guys, $20 a month, and you can join the Marketing for Mastermind Group, and happy to sort of sit there and mastermind your group and your concepts on what's happening in that space.
Is that a group that you run as
well? Yes, that's a group that I run.
All right, so
now, guys, okay. In Facebook land, that's all that we've got covered.
Today's podcast is titled Barbecue and Wine and Cheese Social Marketing. Barbecue and Wine and Cheese Social Marketing. All right, as spring is here, well, I consider it, yeah, because the time has changed and all that. So for us to build weekly, we're going to need bodies, build these little off-grid solar homes. We need bodies. So we've got locations where we can build. So we're not putting that out over the air. Some people that are listening already know. Actually, it's one, two. Only three people know, including me. So we've secured locations where we're going to build, or the idea of where we're going to build in certain locations. So I'm not going to put that out over there. Now we need bodies. So food is a very good marketing tool. And we're going to go use meetup groups as much as possible and use a net. Most people, when they're marketing, they might throw out a single line, fishing for products. The only problem is when you're fishing with just one line, you might catch a fish, you might not. Or if you do catch a fish, that fish might not be sustainable for your business. So we're going to use the meetup method or platform, rather, with a twist on it. Well, really not a twist, but and we'll go through this with our offline conference calls and things like that. We're going to either use, well, one or both. It depends on the occasion and the weather. Barbecue marketing, where we break out the grill and we post it up on meetup, Facebook or what have you. Meetup is basically geographically based. So we'll place it on Meetup and basically invite people to our barbecue in that particular geographical location. That sets a social, you can collect names, phone numbers, email addresses, and of course out of that, some people will be interested in a particular project that we have in that particular area when it comes to building. I mean, because we can promote a build event, or the barbecue can actually be part of a build event. Now, if it's raining or something like that, you're looking at 10-day forecast, or you want to switch it up because you might not want to do barbecues all the time. All right. Then you can do a wine and cheese site. Then you can have it indoors, get some wine and cheese. That's not really expensive at all. And because you want this social element out there where you get to know people, they get to know you, and you're building up social capital and trust at the same time. So those are the two basic ones. Now, it's a numbers game. You just heard the guy say in building the meetup group, he said you want to go from, in 90 days, 0 to 100 people. And that's, one, you know, 100 members, okay, a stable group of people. And what I'm recommending and I'll be brainstorming with at least two of you on how to do this, is I recommend, now you might not start out this way, but you want to get to the point where you're doing 5 meetups per day, Monday through Friday. 5 of them. That gives you 25 a week. That gives you 100 a month. You can do build events on the weekends. But if you do 5 a day, 25 a week, the law of averages is on your side. You'll have plenty of people and you'll have plenty of resources to do a consistent weekly build and earn income from it. So that's casting out the net, doing 5 a day. Because as you get more people, you know, you might want to do, let's say, if it's like Washington, D.C. is divided into quadrants. At 7 o'clock, you could have a wine and cheese type meeting in Northeast. I mean, you can have something going on. Two meetings going on in all 4 quadrants, so you got 8 meetings going on at 7 p.m. That's 8 meetings for the day. So we'll brainstorm on that part of it, but going from 0 to 100, because if you got a community of 100, which is attainable, but like I said, it'll be difficult if you just do 1 meeting a week or even 1 a day. Let me put it, do you want full-time income, a part-time income, or crumb income? If you do 5 a day, you're committing yourself, and it's, hey, just like the law of karma, it's going to come back. You plant the seed, it's going to come back. So I'll be discussing besides me, 2 other people, on essentially how to structure your day where you're going to have 5 meetups Monday through Friday. A big part of that is demographics, or what specific audience that you're talking to. Because you could have one group that is van dwellers. You can have a meeting for them, a wine and cheese for them. You can have a pizza party for people who are returning citizens. You're going to have another event, same day now, where you're talking to women that might be in shelters. You're going to have another group where you're talking to people who are facing foreclosure or eviction and are looking for immediate transition living solutions or permanent living solutions. The 5th category for that day could be college students looking for affordable places to stay. And there's a lot more demographics out there, targeted demographics where you can target. So the goal is 5 a day. Now, you can hit 5 of the same type of groups every day, or you can do a different group for every day. So those people might just come out once a week, but that's part of your 25. So if you got 100 groups, like the bottom line is 5 a day. If you do 5 a day, essentially you do 100 a month, and don't worry about the money. It's, everything will happen if you hit the 5 a day and you do it consistently. Let's go to the phone lines right now, and like I say, offline we'll get. But we're gonna the barbecue marketing. You can get a cheap grill from, what do you call that place, Walmart or Amazon. Or you can go to a yard sale, get you a used grill. So you might know someone, you can borrow theirs. So we recommend to do barbecue grill marketing, wine and cheese marketing. You can do pizza night. Do something with it, some type of refreshments. And that's going to be your pull. And then we're just going to place that up on Meetup, because Meetup is that zeroes on people geographically speaking. 253, your mic is open.
When you say meetup, is that a program?
No,
well,
meetup
is referring to?
If you go online, meetup.com, meetup.com
uh-huh.
is that group. It's an online platform where they got all kind of meetings on there globally. So, I mean, if you want to find out where a sewing club is, or if you want to start a sewing club,
okay,
you go on
okay.
Meetup and you type in the keywords. So you're looking for. They have tiny house groups. They got all kind of groups on Meetup. So we're
okay.
going to place
okay.
our groups, and it's geographical. So, in other words, if you're in King County, Washington, and you want to look for a tiny house group there,
mm-hmm.
you can go on Meetup and put in the area that you're looking for geographically, and then it'll pop up online the name of the group. Typically, they have pictures of the members of the group, and then when they have their next event.
I'm looking at the site now. I want to encourage some people listening to this. They might feel, well, I don't have money to host a pizza party or wine and cheese tasting and all that. And everything doesn't always you can partnership and barter. Like one thing you could use, maybe hold the meetings, the physical meetings at the community centers, which has a large influx of people coming in and out. The community centers and also the library has a conference room and stuff like that. And then, like, sometimes I've called Domino's Pizza and I says, hey, I'm having a youth violence prevention event and we're having 100 youth coming out. Can you guys donate some pies? So, you know, when we say meet up and hosting these events, don't get discouraged and quit because you think you don't have the money to do it. All of these things that we're doing, they're all powered by social capital. So I just wanted to say that.
That's true. You can partner up with somebody. You can ask for donations. You can charge.
Mm-hmm.
If you start a group, you can charge a membership and use that membership to finance any kind of events that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then the surplus, because basically if you're doing like a wine and cheese or whatever, you can basically pay for your groceries for the month out of that fund, because you're going to be using part of
yep.
your groceries to entertain people.
Yeah.
You can also do something. You can meet at a Starbucks. You can meet at a Starbucks. Okay. That's free. And then the members
mm-hmm.
that show up or the people that are interested that show up at that Starbucks or Barnes and Noble, if they want a coffee or whatever kind of refreshment, they can go to the coffee bar or whatever and order a coffee, latte, chocolate milk, whatever. And
yeah.
so that you got a free location, a clean location, a safe location, doesn't cost you a penny. And then, like I said, if people want some type of refreshment, they can go pay for it. So you can do that too. So
I would go to an actual wine facility, a wine tasting facility, and say, hey, gonna bring in these mini blah blah blah, would you be willing to let us hold this meeting, the wine and tasting event here at your lovely location, because that's gonna give them a whole bunch of customers that they might possibly walk away with some orders, you know. So
right.
This is just a yeah. win-win situation all the way around. I'm really excited about this event. So
right, like
what,
I said, if you work your way up to, this is a goal, you're not going to start off this way. You work your way up to 5 a day. That's 25 meetups a week, 100 per month. Okay. You know what? You're basically going to have a social capital bank. So if you need money, which, like on Facebook, you can get 100 friends of, God, I got like, I don't know how many times I've had 5,000 friends on Facebook, but I don't know most of those 5,000 friends. We're talking about 100 people that you will know, and they will know you face-to-face, offline. So, and I call that a social capital bank. So if you need funding, this is where the Amish economics kicks in, principle kicks into this. If you need money for material, and you will, to purchase, you'll have money among those 100 people. You have money there within that group and financial resources within that group to build you a tiny house village if you want. You'll have the labor there. It's all right there with those 100 people. I don't suggest stopping at 100. But the thing is, you'll have 100 real face-to-face relationships. And that's why, the reason why I'm saying 5 a day, some of these people might not be able to get out but once a month. Okay? But if you're cranking it out times a day, and you're probably going to need a partner, along the way you're going to get a partner, or partners where you can divvy up, okay, so-and-so is going to do 20 a month. Another partner might be doing 20 a month. And then every one of those partners will be, it'll be worth their while. I guarantee you that. So the thing is, if you got 100, and see what that'll eventually turn into, depending on what you do or how you work this, and we'll get on, you might end up getting 100 paychecks per month. But the thing is, forget about the money aspect. At the beginning, you want to build your network where you've got 100 real face-to-face contacts per month. You're not expecting anything from them other than pure social contact. And then, you know, as the guy said at the beginning, you'll put your purpose out there. And that's going to be the glue to have people coming back week after week after week. But the food and the cheese and whatever kind of refreshment that you might have, that's the marketing tool to get them out. And then with finger foods, because a lot of this stuff is finger foods. So, I mean, me, myself, that's my diet mostly, finger foods. Give me a little this, a little bit of that on a plate. A small little saucer, I'm basically full. So, if you don't have any money, that's all right. The thing is, you can get a partner, or you can, meet at a park. You can meet at a gym.
Yeah.
But you want to get someplace where the noise level is, like, low, and then you can speak up, or the people that attend can speak up. So although you can meet at a Starbucks, you know, you're going to have to keep the horse down to a certain extent.
I would. Like the community centers, and I like the library, too. Matter of fact, we did some of the filming for the movie, The Invisible War. We filmed some of the interviews for that movie at the library in Auburn, Washington. We sure did.
Okay. I saw part of that movie. Tell us about that movie.
It's The Invisible War is a movie that I was one of the subjects in. It's a movie about military sexual trauma. And so we were raising the awareness about that. And that movie got attention in the Senate and in Congress. So now that there's great strides being taken to punish the perpetrators and as well get the victims that have been raped and, you know, victims of get them their medical and mental health treatment. And there's probably more men being raped than women.
Or at least
just as many.
That's rough.
When you really think it down to the numbers.
You can also market, because there are people that have been in the military, vets, that are looking for affordable housing. So you can take a trending topic that is related to that particular or specific demographic that you're looking at. And that could be the top, that could also be the marketing pull, besides the food, that, that pulls people into your group.
One of the things that's going on here, and I know in a lot of other locations, is either the RV camps where people are living in their RVs along stretches of roads, and the city's not writing parking tickets for them, and the tent cities. Like here, they just keep moving the tent cities, and others are popping up, but there's no resolution. They're not helping them with transition to other housing, and there's no other type of solution. So this is like, this will be just the fact that it's offering a resolution, and you just put that out in those communities and the military, people who are transitioning, people getting out of jail, to who are displaced for due to domestic violence or, you know, whoever knows what else. I don't know if I'm still on. Hello?
You're still there. I have muted myself.
Heard
everything.
Sorry.
I recommend take out a piece of paper and write down, you know what, your goal is 100, but take out a piece of paper, write down 1 through 10 particular groups that you are interested in, that it could be trending topics, or it could be a specific demographic. And then, like I say, the meetup groups. Well, you know what? First thing, before you even do that, go on Meetup and see what groups exist in your neck of the woods. That's the first thing. See what groups exist in your neck of the woods. And then I would also recommend attend some of those meetings as well. Now, what we're doing, I haven't run across any groups yet, because what we're actually doing is we target little small municipalities that have been so far established for about 100 years. And then we go in and purchase a piece of land with the intent of having our own micro village within an established small municipality. And I don't, all our houses, which are extreme houses, that include solar, but they're all extreme when it comes to housing. So in any event, we're going to probably announce dates. Let's see, we got a location in Illinois, actually Chicago. We have a building location in Chicago. We have the way we're going to do it in Taft, we've already got the land, but we're looking at securing another location within Taft. So if for security reasons, because the field that we've got in Taft is just open field, and we've got to have security out there when we, I mean, built with people actually living in it. So we're in the process of securing an indoor location in Taft where we can build, and the buildings will stay in that location until they're ready to be shipped, like not even a quarter of a mile away, within a few blocks away, actually, a few blocks away. And then we're looking for another location, I believe, up in your neck of woods, Robin, to build. So
I'm working on that.
By midweek of next week, we'll be announcing locations where we're going to be having the meetups. So if you're in Chicago, where you can go for the meet at Chicago or the Pembroke, Hawkins, Parker area, we'll be announcing the dates that people can go and what demographic we're promoting. Same as where Robin is, same where I'll have two locations. One in Oklahoma.
Coming to a town near you.
One in here in Florida. Yes, you were saying what?
Coming to a town near you soon.
Yes, coming to a town near you.
Yes.
314, your mic is open.
Good morning, LA. How are you?
I'm fine.
I don't know if I could comment on the topic you have this morning. I think it's a little bit beyond my understanding.
Well, we're basically going to throw some wine and cheese, happy hours, or barbecues to meet people offline. That's as simple as I can do.
Oh, that sounds like it should be interesting. Where is it going to be held at?
Chicago, Pleasant Stephens has got a location. Taft, Oklahoma, will probably have it at the community center. Here in Florida, I got to find a spot. We'll probably have one in Jacksonville, Florida, and then another one in Hamilton County, Florida.
Oh, okay. Well, I ain't going up there to Chicago because that woman that answered the phone when this show may call the police on me.
I don't know nothing about that. Yeah, that's
Lord.
In New Jersey right now, though.
Huh?
The woman you're talking about, I think she lives in New Jersey.
I can't wait to hear that story.
But other than that, it sounds like you got a good plan, L.A. I hope things work out for you.
Yeah, well, that's the first thing.
The meetups are for the purpose of building our social capital bank because people are the currency. We're not going to ask people for money or anything from them. We're just making connections so that we can build a very solid social capital bank, because then once you've got a bank of people that you're in consistent connection with, whenever there's an idea or something to spring forth, it will always come to fruition, always, every time.
Yeah.
Social
capital.
We're
not spending money.
Yeah, people, because people are the currency. So we're meeting up so that we can band together, and then as we band together, we'll begin to see that. Because someone will have an idea or someone will have a need, and probably we'll be discussing it amongst a group of people, and that group of people may not have a whole lot of money in their pockets, but solutions start coming up. Next thing you know, you've got an answer, and you done made a $10 or $50 million move. Like today in this discussion, we came up with a solution, you know, and an answer to a problem. And these things would probably be about maybe $1,000 to pull off. And we found a way to pull them off, and ain't nobody spent or exchanged a dime, because people are the currency. We are. So I don't know if that helps making any sense to you, but sometimes I only make sense to myself, so you gotta give me that.
Well, the example is we got a property in escrow in Pembroke, Illinois, okay? And it's $5,000, so I put up $1,000 already. It's actually a little bit over $1,000, okay? And we're supposed to close on that next month, April. Now we need $4,000 more, which normally I would have, but I had to come up with another $4,000 for a well, that went kaput, and then anyway, I spent like over $5,200 last month on like needed stuff for my mother. That doesn't even include the $600 or $700 I'm shelling out a week on nursing. So I'm short on. I couldn't close it by myself, so I was thinking, now how can I? Anyway, so I was talking to Robin, and anyway, it came up. All right, we can't close. I mean, we can't build on that land. However, we can build on somebody else's land, or in somebody else's garage, or in somebody else's warehouse. So that was the light bulb moment. And, you know, it same with Tab. So, in other words, a whole bunch of resources popped up open by, you know, because if we get, because the way people are, seeing is believing. So we can basically move
yes.
forward by building where we can build right now. So in Chicago, we'll build it at Pleasant Stepping Stone physical location. And then, and we can use it as a show and tell right now. We can disassemble mm-hmm. it, and then when we settle on a property, we can basically put it on a flatbed, move it out, and set it up. But by that time, we'll set up a micro village.
And that's in just out of a conversation with two people, not even in the same location. So could you imagine
I didn't know where I was going to get that $4,000 from. But
can you imagine the power of 100 people right there in the local area that you actually see? They see and know your face, and you see and know their face too. That's a lot of power and a lot of resolution. Oh, and I was sincere about what I told you about my contribution towards the closing.
Well, yeah, we're going to save that for your neck
okay.
of the woods. Yeah, your neck of the woods
okay.
in the Pacific Northwest. But see, the idea that you threw out, like I said, it's just the three of us. Okay. So, like mm-hmm. I said, basically, I don't know who even thought it up, but that was basically a $4,000 idea by just saying, you know
yep.
what, build where you can build now. And from that, because,
yep.
like I said, I know the $4,000 is a done deal. Because, like I said, that was a $4,000. It was more than $4,000.
Okay.
On that note, that's it for today. Everyone have a good rest of the day.
At Leidos, a brilliant mind is smart, but a brilliant team is smarter. A ship that finds enemy subs is smart, but an autonomous fleet, that's smarter. Defending against cyber attacks? Smart. Stopping attacks before they start? Smarter. And using AI tools is smart, but integrating trusted mission AI into your technology is smarter. We're not just making technology solutions in national security and health. We're making smart smarter. Leidos.